good evening. Good evening. Let's all find a hymnal. Turn over to number 246. And let's all stand together. 246.
Redeemed how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. His child and forever I am.
Evening, everybody. Okay, church question. Before they left for furlough, what was it in Andalusia that the pastor referred to as a new light in deep, dark, spiritual country? Jessica. Yep, that's it. That new church. The light in the dark. Ooh. Yeah, I took a very distinct stuff.
Garden.
Church. Did you got want a new one? You don't want a new booklet? Okay. All right. Nice job. Okay. Here's a spirituality question. Why did a member, a church member, ask Joaquin to share the gospel with someone? What was the specific? Yeah, because he spoke Spanish. And this was a Mexican man that they were witnessing to. Spirituality. Thank you. Spirituality. Do you want a new one? Okay. Huh? Okay. All right. I got two more questions, both family questions. During their furlough, they visited family here in the States. What two states? Their family. Yes. South Carolina. I knew you'd catch it. Nice job. Got your new booklet?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I can't find the
page. If you think I can find family, okay. I'm glad I live next door. Easy to get here. Can't get lost. Okay, good one. Nice job. One more family. Pocky's uncle had written a book of life's memories. The title of the book. Yes, A Pilgrim Song. There you go, Lopez. Oops. That was another family question. You already got family mark. Can I just mark something else?
You're the boss.
I'm the boss. You do such a good job. Oop, there you go. Okay, that's all. Thank you, y'all. Keep reading those letters. Thank you, Pastor.
All right. Amen. So tonight I'd like you to pass those up so that we can, if you've got yours and you got the pages, if you will leave them here, make sure you get your name on it and you'll leave it here and you bring it up here and put it on the table. Brother John will take those and transfer the stamps so we could have them all the same. Yep. You can have the original if you've taken notes on it or have special things. And so, I want to, let's see. I'd like to, let's have a couple people. Hayden, could you pick those up? If anybody has those with you, make sure your name's on it, and he'll go around. And somebody over here, Asher, can you help on this side maybe? Just go around and see if anybody has that to pick up. See if anybody has one that the old ones. Make sure your name's on it or you'll lose all credit. All right. If you don't have it, if you don't have the old booklet. No, if you don't have the old booklet, now is a great time to start with a new booklet. And so just put them down here on the table. That'd be great. And make sure the name is on there. And, if you don't know your name, ask someone next to you. And, Brother John will get those this week, and, either on Wednesday or next Sunday, he'll have those. And before Sunday, next Sunday night, they'll be ready, and you'll have a fresh new book, no dog ears or nothing like that. And, now, though, I can't promise it'll stay like that, but anyhow, it'll get back and try to do that. Okay, let's turn once again over to number 183. Let's all stand again. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its words. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's one who died to set me free. Tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect being. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells me what my Father has in store for every day. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Amen. I want to just remind you. I'm not going to remind you. I was going to remind you to take one of the bracelets back there, but they are all gone. So, if you thought, man, I wanted to get one because I wanted to pray. Anybody like that? Say, I wanted to get one, but I didn't get a chance to get one. Ooh, a couple of you? Okay. We're going to give you one. Okay, after the service, we're going to print up some more. We have this very intricate, detailed process for getting those printed. It's called writing the names on there. And so we're going to do that. And so I want you to write, and I want you to think about when you're praying for the junior camper on that. Pray for the counselors as well, those that are there. And two things, maybe three. They keep their sanity, not their insanity. Keep their sanity. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's not like that. Number two, health and those things. Sometimes you can get sick out of camp, right? It happens. And also, you got to use the preaching and the things that it's so funny. You're like, what's a junior camp? I mean, what's a junior camp going to do to speak to the heart of an adult? Right? I'm telling you, I can still remember years ago, talking about probably in 1999, maybe it was 2000, right around there. We were in Bible college, and we helped, my wife and I helped, they were starting a campus church. Not a campus church, a church on the campus for that neighborhood. And so we were helping them, and my wife was doing VBS. It was just one VBS class. She was teaching it. And so there's always guest pastors that would come in to teach the classes. So that pastor's like, you know, I got nothing to do. I'm going to come sit in and listen to the VBS. My wife's teaching these kids up there. And this pastor, I think he was in his 60s, maybe 50s. He was old back then because I was young. I was in my early 20s. And so he was 50. He's probably 50. And he was my age and seemed old, Anyway. And he's back there rolling and just with it so much that it's almost like you have to quiet down so the kids can hear, right? And so I'm telling you, if you when we have VBS, it is heart stirring. I mean, and it's not just like that. But sometimes I'm thinking, are we sure these kids are going to get it? But it's a blessing, and I'm excited about it and the things that go on with that. But pray that God would use not only for the kids but for those going and. We need to be stirred, encouraged, and pray one for another. And so, went to go get a van today. My wife and I drove about an hour to the other side of Orlando. Got up there to get the van. It was a good 12-passenger van, and we drove it back about 15 minutes, and about rattled me out the door. So we left it there. We left it there. But we found another one in town. It's not a 12-passenger. It's just a small vehicle, but I like everything to go my way all the time. But almost, it's getting to where around here, it's like almost never does it go my way. But God's way is better than my way, and I trust His way. And so I'm not saying it doesn't get. I don't want to say it gets discouraging. It gets tiring. But my wife and I spent the day together in the car, so. We found one of our favorite ice cream places in the world over there, Andy's Custard. Do you know there's an Andy's Custard? Anybody here ever heard of Andy's Custard? It's about 10 minutes from the Sanford Airport. I'm telling you, I think we should just call it. So I had some birthday ice cream. Why not? And so that was a good. We spent the day in the car, and so it was okay. God knows what we need. God knows. And I hadn't seen my wife for a week, so we had things to catch up on. So that was all right. So it was. God knows. And if we'll just not get discouraged when it doesn't go the way we expect, I'm not saying we're not going to get tired. Amen. But anyway, praise the Lord. This week, be here in your place on Wednesday. We're going to be down some folks Wednesday. Brother Bob's gone. Brother Bob's going to be gone for the month. So y'all pray for him. He's up there, and he was supposed to be today, this weekend, with his daughter. She fell and broke her foot. And her husband fell and also hurt himself, so Bob didn't get to go over there, so he's with his son. Hey, brother, good to see you. Well, good for you to see me, I guess. And so be praying for Brother Bob, and he's going to be gone really the rest of the month. He'll be back, I think, on the 30th. Pray for Brother Bob. So he's gone. The Berghammers are going to be going and visiting the family, their grandbaby, and whoever's watching the grandbaby, you know. We call when Sam and Nathan come down, they say we're going to have, you know, see Levi and Emmett and their chaperones, you know. And so anyhow, so we're going to go do that. So they're going to be gone. The other Berghammers could be at camp. We've got folks that are going to be gone. And so be here. The rest of y'all be here to be there. Brother John's going to be bringing the services. So looking forward to that. So at least we'll have the teens out here. Amen. Be in your place. No, brother. See? That's what Hayden was like. That's what that look was. So, you know, there's going to be down to a skeleton crew. So be part of the skeleton. Amen? Amen? Robin's like, don't. She's like, don't listen to him. No worries. Amen. So, be planning on that coming up here, though. We got good plans for next Sunday. Take a couple of those invitations with you for the creation conference. Have them with you. Take them and have them with you. So if somebody comes along, you're ready to invite them, and that'd be a great thing. All right, let's turn over to number 315. 315.
Brother Joel has been sick, and he's been sick for really a couple of weeks. I thought he was out of town for 4th of July, so he's been at home sick, and so he's not been feeling well. They say he's feeling better today, and so he came in this morning, but he had some kind of lung respiratory type thing, so be praying for him and think about him as well. Amen. Okay.
In the book of Job, in chapter 12. Job in chapter 12. We are getting close to the end. Okay, we're getting close to the middle.
to the first third. We're getting close to the third. We're going to cover a couple chapters tonight, though. Amen. Lord willing. It's been a couple weeks, so I want us to just get our heads back where we're at so far. The third of his friends, I think they were friends. I do think they were friends. I'm just giving my opinion. I think these guys thought they was doing good stuff. I really do. I really think they thought they were helping him. And so I can come off like I'm really giving them a hard time, and I am giving them a hard time because they were going beyond what they should, and we're going to look at that a little bit more tonight. But he's answered Job, and he was the most direct and dogmatic of the three. He really kind of gave it to him, and Zophar was convinced that Job's suffering had an obvious explanation, right? I didn't go to this, did I? Or I did. Okay. I'm on both. And so, the obvious explanation that was that Job must be guilty, and since he's guilty, he needed to just stop defending himself. That was Zophar's conclusion and explanation. Job needed to repent, and then what would happen after Job repented? Everything would be restored and everything would be fine. Everything's going to be okay if you'll just do this thing that I'm telling you to do. Remember, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. The problem was that Zophar had no proof. He had no proof. Yet he spoke with certainty, but no knowledge. He just said, this is the way it is, obviously. So obviously what? Well, just because it's obvious, right? Why is it obvious? Well, because it is, right? That kind of circular logic to kind of go. So he claimed, Zophar claimed to understand what God never revealed, right? So now in chapters 12 and 13, Job is going to answer to him. He's going to reply to him, and he's going to reply to Zophar's speech. But in this answer, he's also answering all three friends. It's the end of their, we kind of call it the first course, right, of all three friends giving their thoughts on this and giving their statements on this. And so he's at the end, so he's answering this one, but he's also really, in a broader way, he's answering the larger argument that all three of these friends have been making. And they treated Job's suffering as evidence against him. Their evidence was what they saw happening to him. But Job has not been ready to accept their accusation. He's just not accepted it. And he's not ready to confess guilt that God hasn't shown, right? And this is kind of what we're seeing with him. And he's not ready to surrender his faith just because he doesn't understand his suffering. You ever suffered and not understood why? Right? Something's going on to you. Something's happening. Why me, Lord? And we've been there. Why me, Lord? Why is this going on? And you know, Job knew he was suffering. And the truth is, what it certainly appears in some of the things Job has said is he believed that it was coming from God. He believed that it was coming from God, and he just didn't understand why. So we're going to look at that tonight. Point number one is this. Human wisdom has its limits. Human wisdom has its limits. Look at verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. And Job answered and said, no doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. There you go, Miss Cookie. There it is. Miss Cookie said, is this the night that we say that? Wisdom is going to die. No doubt you're the people, and wisdom's going to die with you. You know what he's saying? You know everything. And you're the end of it. It's all you. He's being a little sarcastic, right? So it's biblical. No, not real. No, forget I said that. Okay, verse 3. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? Okay, Job rejects the superiority of his friend's wisdom. He says this, I know it as well as you do. You know, it's kind of interesting. He said, you've not said anything that I don't already know. And really what he's saying, this is a pretty common saying. He says there, who knoweth not such things as these? You've not said anything, you know, interesting is what he said. You've not said anything really, wow, you know all this stuff. Wisdom's going to die with these. I know these things as well as you. He's not impressed with their wisdom. In other words, what's going on here. Look at verse 4. I am as one mocked of his neighbor who calleth upon God, and he answered him. And just the just upright man is laughed to scorn. I want you to see just a couple things as we just draw from this verse. He said, I am as one mocked of his neighbor. And then he talks about who he is. He's talking about I, who calleth upon God. He said, I'm one that calls upon God, and God answers me, is what he's saying. I'm one that calls upon God, and God answers him. And then he calls himself the just upright man, he's saying. He said, and I'm laughed to scorn. He's saying this is the kind of situation. Verse 5. He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. You know what I mean? Amen? I love No, I don't know. You know, it's one of the, sometimes you read that and you're like, Yeah, that's, and I you just, You could imagine how long I have to spend on each one of these verses. I can't, and this is why it's taking a while. So I'm not going to deal with every verse. We're going to speak about this in just a moment. But verse 6, the tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. Okay, here's what he's saying. Here's what he's going to get to. In fact, what he's going to say is things are not as simple as you want to make it. Things are not like, you want to make it, well, you know, you're suffering, so it's obviously that you sin. It's not as, Job is an upright man being scorned. And this is what he's saying. I'm an upright man, and I'm being scorned by, I'm as one being scorned by his neighbors. And really what that verse, it's kind of, it really means this. It's often those that are in their ease that are ready to judge those that are suffering. Look at that again. Verse 5, he that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. You're like, okay, maybe you have to spend some time and understand the Hebrew and all this, but here's really what it's saying. He's saying, so the one that's at their ease, is it's so much easier for them to mock the one that's in their suffering. Man, I get this. I am a much better judge when things are going my way. Right? When things are going my way, and you've heard me maybe tell this story before, but, you know, and I'd look at other people's kids, I'm like, those parents, they don't know what they're doing. My kids are over here behaving, and those kids, and then later on when your kids misbehave, you're like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, when I'm at ease, it's easy to judge those that are slipping. Right? And it's there's challenge going on over there. And he said, So I'm the one struggling and you're the one at ease, and so you're kind of mocking me is what's going on. Furthermore, he says this, thieves will often prosper. We find that throughout the book of Proverbs. We find this thought. And those who provoke God enjoy security. Yeah, maybe it's only for a season. What Job is really saying is your point that because I'm suffering, I'm in sin, that it's not actually consistent. Because we see robbers prosper. We see others prosper. So what you're saying is it isn't consistent. You know, you're not seeing. So he's kind of trying to just point out some of this thing. Here's the fact. Creation teaches God's sovereignty. Look at verse 7 now. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee. See what he's dealing with? He's dealing with their wisdom. Remember back there he said, no doubt ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. He said, you've not said anything. He said, even, you know what he's saying? That even the beasts will tell you this. In verse 7, but ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee. And the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee. And the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Right? Verse 9. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? Who doesn't know that, is what he's saying. And in whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? He said, listen, ask the beasts, or the birds, or even ask the earth itself. Everything testifies that God rules. This is what Zophar was saying. This is what these others are saying. God is the one in charge. Come on. Can you almost see? Do you ever have that kind of situation where somebody is telling you something that's obvious and they're kind of scolding you about it? Like, yeah, I know that. But can't you see things are really bad for me right now? Can I just... You ever want to just clear off a little place and have a little pity party sometimes? Amen. Women do more, but... You know, my wife say, yeah, why don't you let me? Sometimes we just want to... I think that's where Job's at. Life is not... It's pretty tough on him. And they're giving him the grief. He said, listen, even though... Look here. Look at verse 11 now. Doth not the ear try words? And the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom. And in length of days, understanding... With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Okay, I want us to see what verse 14, I want to focus on that for a minute. Behold, he, talking about the Lord, breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Listen, no one can undo what God has done. We cannot but wish it differently and think it'll be so, right? The thing is about these friends, they are saying truths. They're just making wrong conclusions. I've said this many times already. He said, God, we can't be against God. We know that He's in charge. Even the beasts know that. The earth, you can ask the earth. Ask the earth. I mean, you know, I love it, you know, when there was this... something I read about recently, it was very interesting. We've been saying in creation, it's been saying for a long time. But now some of the world is saying with this thing of global warming and climate change or whatever the kind of thing they're saying. You know what they're finding now? This is fun. I love it when anti-creationists are proven wrong. They say we are. So what they've said is we're creating all this carbon. We're destroying the planet. We're destroying the planet. Open up, you know, these holes in the ozone layer. We're doing all this. So we just keep burning all this fossil fuels. We've got to get rid of oil because it's doing all this. We need wind and solar. We need to do all this kind of stuff. And so what they found out? You can. You heard they said we're going to run out of the rainforest is dying. You've heard that, right? It's dying. So what they found is as carbon has increased in our planet, so have the trees. Do you know there is less of the Sahara Desert than there ever has been in history? The desert is disappearing. I think that's a good thing. So what they found is, this is an interesting thing, plants... like carbon dioxide, right? They like that carbon in the air. They actually use it to grow, and so they're growing better than they ever had before. This is not a Christian scientist. This is scientists that have observed and say that The desert is disappearing. It's just, it's phenomenal what happens out there. When he said, ask the earth knows. Well, this is what he's getting at, some of these kind of things. It's everywhere. We find this thing. Listen, God's... No, I didn't get to there yet. Let me read verse 15. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also, he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leadeth counselors away spoiled and maketh the judges fools. Listen, God's sovereignty is so far beyond our understanding and certainly beyond our power to change. This is what Job is talking about. Job said, I know these things. It's not you. You don't have all the wisdom. Even the world itself, this is people that we understand this. God's providence is beyond simple formulas. Verse 18. He looseth the bond of kings and girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth deep things out of darkness and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He increases them, then he destroys them. Right? That's what he's saying. Listen, he enlarges the nations and straighteneth them again. That's what God does. Come on. We know God's sovereign is what he's saying. We know God is the one over all this. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. I think of Nebuchadnezzar. I think of that verse. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. Listen, God removes kings, he exalts nations, he overthrows counselors, and he confounds judges. God's way of governing, God's way of operation in this world cannot be reduced to good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. It's as if I kind of sense Job saying here, you want to make God so simple. There's so much more to this than what you see. You think it's just this. It's so much more. God is so much bigger. Man. Our church must not be right with God. Our bus broke down. Right? You ever think that way about other people? Now, don't admit it. Don't admit it. But just think about that. Think about that. Well, I mean, I would never say... No, I would say that. I do say this. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. You know what I mean? I shouldn't say that. I do say that. Okay. But you know, things happen and we're like, But then when they happen to me, it's like, no, I'm just right with God. You know what I'm saying? It's so much more than the simplicity of we want to say, look what's happened in their life. This must be the exact answer. It's really what Job's getting. God's sovereignty is so much bigger. Point number two, false wisdom misrepresents God. Okay, look at chapter 13, verse 1. Lo, mine eyes hath seen all this, mine ear hath heard and understood it. What ye know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior unto you. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. Okay, we're still in the courtroom, right? Remember, we're still in the courtroom. We're still in this court, and there's this. Faith is on trial. And this is what's happening with Job. And he's still feeling this thing. He said, Job's desire is to speak to God directly. I want to get this from God. His friends, though, are speaking for God falsely. He says there in verse 4, but ye are forgers of lies. You know what he's saying? bunch of liars. You're liars. Not only liars, but you're forging. You're creating lies. Ye are all physicians of no value. Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace. You know what he's saying? I wish y'all would shut up. I know, in my house that's kind of a cuss word, but that's what he's saying. Right? Wish y'all would just altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom. You know what your greatest wisdom would be? You'd be quiet. I like Job. Job is fed up. I mean, already I got enough grief, and you're going to pile on it. And now he's just kind of coming back at him a little bit. They are forgers of lies and physicians of no value. Job is making great accusation against them now. I said, I don't like to call people liars. Call somebody a liar is a tough thing. And that's kind of the top. But here's the thing. He's calling them forgers of lies, not because he is imagining things about them. Now, I think you're lying. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying here, but because he actually knows how he has been living his life. We're going to see something here, and I want to change your thinking about this probably a little bit. I want us to change how we think about ourselves. When we're living upright, when we're living how? No. When we're living upright, right? And righteous. When you're living upright and righteous, do not let the world or circumstances talk you into doubting yourself. No, okay. So you know you're walking with the Lord. Can we know we're walking with the Lord? Isn't it easier to say, well, I must be in sin? Something's going on. I must be. I'll tell you, we actually have an easier time beating ourselves up than we do. We could feel afraid because if I think too well of myself, then I'm in pride. And maybe if I speak bad of myself, I'm in humility. That seems to be how it works, doesn't it? But I want us to change our thinking about that a little bit. If you know you're walking with the Lord, if you know you're walking uprightly and righteously, you say, can I really know that? Well, you can know that. Did I say you're walking perfect? When God calls somebody perfect, he means they're following in that path. They're following the Lord. And so when we're walking that way, don't let your circumstances beat you up to say, see, who's that? Who do you think our circumstances are helping? That is just like it was for Job. It is Satan that wants you to say, see. And we beat ourselves up. We doubt our salvation. We lose our assurance of salvation. We get this whole thing where we kind of find ourselves in a mess. Don't let circumstances or the world cause you to doubt yourself. I know that seems sometimes counterintuitive. Because a lot of times I think what we want to do is we want to preach, you're probably not right with God, you need to get right with God. Probably if something's going on in your life, you need to really check yourself, you need to question yourself, you need to see what's wrong in your life. We kind of start like that because it feels better preaching that way. It feels safer. It feels safer. If something's wrong, probably it's me, I did something. But that's not the case with Job at all, is it? Aren't you glad for the book of Job? Because we don't find this anywhere else. But God made it. He gave us 42 chapters of this stuff. This isn't some little, you know, booklet. This is a thick 42 chapters of this going back and forth and dealing with this thing so we could see where at. I know, you know, our purpose is not to always doubt the righteous or the righteousness that we're living. We ought to find a place that we could say, no, I am. Job stuck by his stuff. Now, I understand he's one of the most righteous in all the earth, right? But we can find our place. I am living for the Lord. If something bad's happening, maybe it's just God's doing something in my life. And I tell you, if you get angry and upset, maybe you maybe you're not where you ought to have been, where you thought you were. And okay, there's something there, but I'm telling you, we're walking this thing. Listen, God has a plan. I'm okay with it. It doesn't mean we get filled with self-righteousness, but it does mean that we should be secure in the righteousness of Christ. We should be secure that I am following my Savior. He sent me some things. I'm following Him. Amen. Now listen, if somebody comes up and says, well, you said that, but you know, you've been talking like this, and you've been saying like this, and you weren't doing this, and okay, well, yeah, but I think I'm good. No, that's self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is I'm defining the righteousness. The righteousness of Christ, He's defined. No, I am walking in. That's what Job is saying. He said, I'm not going to let you accuse me. I'm not going to confess what you tell me to confess because I have nothing to confess. I don't know what... Matter of fact, we're going to get to that in a minute. If you'd show me what to confess, maybe I'd do that. Are you okay with that? Am you okay with this here, what he's saying? Listen, fine. It's okay to say, I am living how God wants me to live. And I'm not going to let other people tell me I'm not. Now, if there's something truth, we're going to get into that thing. I think that's what we find Job doing in this responses. Look at verse 6. Hear now my reasoning. He's about to say, let me tell you why I'm saying this. And hearken to the pleading of my lips. Listen, here's what he's going to say. God doesn't need a dishonest defense. Verse 7. Will ye speak wickedly for God and talk deceitfully for Him? Will ye accept His person? Will ye contend for God? He's talking about, listen, you're being God's lawyer. That's what he's saying. You're contending for Him. You're speaking for Him. You're speaking wickedly. You're talking deceitfully for Him. You're accepting His person. I'm going to say something about that in a second. Let's see, verse 9. Is it good that He should search you out? Or as one man mocketh another, do ye so mock Him? He will surely reprove you if ye do secretly accept persons. So here's what he said. He said, will you speak wickedly for Him? Will you accept His person? Something kind of strange is happening here. And what Job is now accusing his friends of choosing God's side of the argument without even knowing what the accusation is. Okay. You'll stay with it. Book of Job is a little challenging, okay? I'm going to press you to challenge your thinking a little bit because this is what the book of Job does if we read through it. Now, it might sound to you like, I'm going to tell you, if I'm going to choose a side, I'm going to choose God's side of the argument. Yeah? Okay, that's obviously. But in this case, they are contending for God by speaking wickedly. So they're arguing on God's side, but they don't know what they're talking about. They're making stuff up like, yeah, we're here to defend God and we're going to say, you know, what you're doing is wrong. So they're being a respecter of person saying, you know, it's God against you, which that wasn't even the debate, was it? That wasn't it. It was actually, you know who are the plaintiff and the defendant? Satan and God. Satan and God. And Job was the one God said, watch what my boy's going to do. Right? I don't think I want to be the boy. I mean, I do. I want to be God. I want to be that. But I'm glad Job was instead. Is that a better way to say it? And he said, this is what's going on. And so, truth never needs false arguments. Okay. Truth doesn't need us to make up stuff to defend it. I'm telling you, we get ourselves trapped in this stuff. You start saying, well, you know, really the reason is we try to justify. Sometimes truth is hard to defend. Well, why did God do that? Well, obviously he did this because it ain't always obvious. Sometimes it's really hard. And you know, sometimes I don't like it when I don't have an answer. And what we can do sometimes is when we don't have an answer, we make one up. And we make one up. I preached a message many years ago. Are we God's helper or are we helping God? Right? Sometimes we think, I'm going to help God. God needs a little bit of my help to get this done. And God's over there like, yes, now we're going to win. That little ant over there is on our side. We're going to really take them now, right? How foolish we can be. Look at verse 11 now. Shall not His excellency make you afraid and His dread fall upon you? Your remembrances are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. Listen, He should be enough. That's really what He's saying. He should be enough. Adding to His truth actually takes away from Him. Well, you know, I'm just trying to help it people to understand it better. And so I just like using a phrase that makes more sense. I stand at the door and knock. Jesus Christ is knocking on your door. He wants you to open up so you can be saved. I know it's not what the Bible says, but it just fits and it helps people to understand. Right? We say things because we want to help God. And we want to try to help. I'm just trying to make it easier for people. So let's make up stuff. Right? No, listen. We have a whole series of these things. Well, let's just ask Jesus into your heart. Well, I know the meaning. I know the meaning means in a heart. Man believeth with the heart unto righteousness. But asking Him into your heart, kind of Jesus now lives in my heart. No, He's actually at the right hand of the Father. Right? When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He gives us His Spirit lives within me. You say, well, Spirit, Holy God, Father, it's all the same. But then it starts getting confusing, right? I think what Job is getting, you're making stuff up, you're saying stuff. Listen, it's He is enough. God is enough, and what He said is enough. Man, I sure hope God doesn't need me to straighten Him out. Adding to His truth actually takes away. It's one of those things that addition becomes subtraction. What a mess. Truth does not need extra info to make it more powerful. Well, I just really want to make it, I just want to punch it in. Come on. I think this book is pretty punchy. Right? Whew. Number three. Faith refuses to surrender. Look at verse 13. Hold your peace. Let me alone that I may speak. And let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in mine hand? Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. But I will maintain mine own ways before Him. Okay, Job is willing to risk everything. Here's what he's saying. Though He slays me, I'm going to trust in Him. Here's what we find. We find Job now standing in his integrity, standing in what he believes to be what God is, in his position before God. He is not willing to compromise and accept the theologies of others just to be agreeable. Okay. I want you to get the emphasis of that. We live in a time, like since probably, creation, probably, that we are pack animals. We kind of like, Baptists definitely are. We're like together, and like, what do we believe? Well, we believe, who's the we? Well, you know, we're independent, but we all believe the same thing. And we kind of like, well, what do you believe? I believe that too. And, you know, we kind of, and so sometimes we're like, well, the Bible says this. Yeah, but we believe that. Well, okay, I guess I could put that to the side. To be with the people. But Job said, you know, all his friends, they're at a fellowship meeting. And they're saying, brother, this is really what you ought to do because this is the thing and you just do this. And the other friend says, yeah, the next friend gets up and preaches to this one. And the next one does it even harder. And they're preaching at him as an audience of one. Job's sitting there and he said, you're saying some truth, but it's not the case. And I just can't follow that. Job is standing in his integrity. He said, I am not going to follow the theology of others just to be agreeable. Can you imagine how this would have ended with his friends if he said, yeah, okay. God, I'm sorry for what I did. Whatever it is, I'm not sure, but I'm sorry. His friends would have been like, see, don't you feel better now? Job would not have felt better, and neither would his friends. Because then there would have been nobody to pray for them. That's how this book ends. If God finds him to be in sin, Job's saying if he finds it, then he is willing to accept the slaying. But he is not willing to turn back from God. Look at verse 16 now. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. Hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. Behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be... Job is still maintaining that trouble is not an indication of his guilt. Still standing there, man. He's standing there. I love to watch Job stand here saying, I'm not gonna be pushed off a cliff by you guys. By my only three friends that came. Verse 19. Who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. So, he must maintain or defend his case. Job still, though, desires an audience with God. Look at verse 20. Only do not two things unto me, then will I not hide myself from thee. He's talking to God here. He says, withdraw thy hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Verse 22. Then call thou, and I will answer, or let me speak and answer thou me. How many are my iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Man, Job is circled all the way back. He still desires to know what his transgression is. He said, tell me my sin. What have I done here? This is the struggle, folks. This is the struggle with Job. And it's the struggle and it's the frustration of being under the hand of persecution and not able to understand the reason for it. Job continues trusting, but he's going to keep seeking answers. Look at verse 24 now. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and holdest me for thine enemy? He's talking to God. Wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro? And wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? For thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. He does not understand. He refuses to fabricate an explanation, though we find that he does wonder about some reasons that might be coming upon him. It's interesting. He finds this reason. And we find the first time this kind of comes up here at the end of verse 26, he says, and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. Job clearly understands himself to have been living upright before the Lord. of the which we actually know is true. But here it seems that Job feels like this may be something for some sins of his past, maybe in his youth. Man, is this the chickens coming home to roost? Can you kind of see? He's not accepting that he's in sin, but it's trying to find answers from God. He's frustrated. So maybe is this from my youth? The iniquities of my youth? I want us to understand this evening. Living right with God, walking in His perfect will, should be so normal, so part of who the believer is, that when what seems like great persecution comes, we should not expect, we should not simply expect it because of some unknown sins in our life. I'm saying this, that like when we're so living, this should be normal. Living the Christian life, following the Lord, living the righteous should be so normal that when this persecution comes, we should be saying, I have no idea why this is coming. Shouldn't be. I bet that's because of. If that's our go-to, then there's too much unfaithfulness and doubt in our lives. If my go-to, man, I wonder what God's judging me for. Now, I'm not saying we don't ever go there, but I'm saying if we do go there, if that's our go-to, is our sin under the blood? That's what the book says. Does God bring it back up? He doesn't bring it back up? I mean, does He hide it in the deepest ocean? Does He put it behind His back? That's what He says, isn't it? So is He bringing it back up? So does God say, well, you remember what you did back there? It's payday, buddy. We're going there. Something's wrong. Nevertheless, Job does question. He does question. Not really in a theological. I don't think Job is questioning theologically. I think it seems to be more in a personal, emotional, and anguishing way. What is going on? Job doesn't just feel accused. He feels restrained. Look at verse 27. He said, Thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, and lookest narrowly unto all my paths. Thou settest a print upon the heels of my feet. Listen, he's saying, it feels like everything I do is being watched.
Yeah, it is.
But he's like, it feels like I'm he's trying to this anguish. Look at verse 28. And he as a rotten thing consumeth, as a garment that is moth-eaten. That's what he's saying. He's feeling like he's wasting away. We're going to get into the next part next week. But here's our conclusion tonight. Number one, there are going to be times in life when we don't understand what God's doing. There's going to be times in life we don't understand what He's doing. We may know that we're not living in rebellion. Amen? We may know that we're not hiding some secrets, then we'll know this thing. We'll know these things. I'm living that way. We may know that we are walking uprightly before the Lord. And yet, trouble still comes. Second thing. That is when false wisdom becomes dangerous. False wisdom becomes dangerous. False wisdom will try to force an answer where God hasn't given one. Faith does not have to invent an answer in order to keep trusting God. I can trust God even when trouble comes and I don't understand it. Faith can say, I do not know why this is happening, but I still know God. Here's the challenge for us tonight. Go back to what God has made clear before you let suffering rewrite what you believe. It's okay to take your questions to God. It's okay. But do it without walking away from God. Amen? Amen. Keep doing right. This little slogan. Keep doing right while you wait for the light. Let's all stand. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord. We will suffer persecution, Lord. You said it throughout your word. And we're going to suffer it. It's going to come upon us. And yet, Lord, we won't even know. We won't understand it. There's times that it's going to come so unexpected. And it really, Lord, as we see with Job, it really had nothing to do with him. It had all to do with showing for throughout history this truth in his life that we can benefit from. So, Lord, far be it from us to think that you would never do some things in our life just to be a testimony to others. So, Lord, help us not to listen to those that would mock us and say terrible things. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to stand, put our hope and our trust in you, Lord. We'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Maybe God's spoken to your heart tonight. There's something in your life that maybe tonight you just want to say, God, I just want to trust you. Lord, there's things in my life that I don't particularly care for, and there's things that's going the way, but I just want to trust you in the midst of it.
Sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him. Now He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Come then and join this holy band, and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land where joy's immortal flow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Amen. Have a good week.